or two, how many of you want, you know. On that, they have the Bible verses, but also I thought it was very interesting. On the right-hand side, I put the story that what Martin Luther had written during 1527 during the plague. And boy, does that sound familiar. And I like his humor. I'm not going to tell you where his humor is in there. You'll see it and you'll laugh. And if you laugh out loud while I'm speaking, I'll know you're reading it during the sermon. So, but there's a little bit of Martin Luther humor in there. So, this morning, preparing for the plan of God. And I believe this should say part one. As I was going over it and over it, it got longer and longer, you know, as pastors do. And so this morning, we will begin and we will just, it is part one. And I think I have my, I thought I left my notes. And there's been, probably you've all heard this story. The little boy in Sunday, little Sunday, first and second Sunday school grades. And the teacher comes in front of them and she's, okay, boys and girls, I'm going to describe something. And when you know what it is, raise your hand and tell me. And so the boys and girls all got ready. Whoa, thank you, Brian. Wow, I can see. And she said, well, it's a little animal. It's about this high. Nobody raised their hand. And it has a real fluffy tail. And it's got two cute little ears. Nobody. And the teacher is saying, my, it's usually brown. Sometimes it can be gray. Sometimes it's red. It stores nuts for the winter. Finally, a little boy in the back raised his hand and said, teacher, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sounds a lot like a squirrel. You know, and I heard that story years ago when someone was talking about church and saying that, you know, everything is Jesus. We need to, you know what? I think we need to reverse this and get back to everything being about Jesus. I think we've lost it. I think in our preparation to serve God, we said, well, this program's good. And programs are not all bad. I'm not saying programs are bad. I'm not saying outings are bad. But sometimes we use those to replace what Jesus wants us to do to win others for him. You know, if all I did was worry about programmatic churches, being a programmatic church, I might forget John 3:16. I might forget Romans 3:23. I might forget Romans 6:23 when I'm talking to folks and say, oh, you need to come to our church because we have basketball for men. Good program. I like it. I've played in it. I don't like it when they play three games and there's no devotional, no time out for Jesus. I've been in churches where ladies have had teas once a month, and those are nice. And they brought other ladies to their tea, but Jesus wasn't mentioned, except maybe the prayer at the beginning. I believe if we are going to go forward as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to put Jesus Christ at the forward of the church. Make sense? And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about preparation for what God has for us. Now, preparation, there are two types of people in this world. There are those people that go ready, aim, fire. That's the way you do it, right? I mean, then there are people like me. Ready, fire. Oh, I forgot the aim part. You know, I'm one of those dreamers, you know, and I see wow, that looks great. Let's do it. And then I've got this guy, maybe like Dana. I don't know if Dana's this guy. But he says, hold on, Pastor. Before we do that, we've got to do this. And then we've got to do this. And then we've got to do this. Oh, really? And then sometimes I say, that's not worth it. And there's some of you like that maybe a little bit too. And if we start talking about planning for the church of God, we'll say, well, yeah, that, oh, all of that? We've got to do some, that. Remember, what was that fella's name on Dobie Gillis? They say work, and you go, work, you know, and Maynard G. Krebs. Some of you are saying, what is he talking about? You're not old enough. But the scripture that we're going to look at today will show us a little bit about planning. How many of you men, just raise your hand, be honest, you know, are very good planners, and anytime you get ready to go on a vacation with your family, whatever you or put something together, you're good planners. Raise your hand if you're one of those men. Yeah, I thought so. Ladies, how many of you, when it comes to vacation, getting the kids ready for school, whatever it is, going to see grandchildren, how many of you are good planners? I see one hand. Okay, two. Okay, there's some that are. Well, I think that falls over into us when we talk about Jesus in our planning. And somebody said to me not too long ago, well, you talk to everybody that you see. And I do, but you know what? I plan. I plan. Before I go out, I pray. And I say, Lord, if there is somebody there for me to talk to today, make it so that your Holy Spirit makes that really jump into my face, that I can't get away from it. And then when I'm out and I get in the car and I whatever I'm doing, I'm planning. I'm rehearsing, if you would, scripture. And so today, let me get my glasses on so I can see where we are today. Joshua 3:5 is the verse I want to look at first. And I did the King James today. Sometimes I do the English Standard, but today these verses just kind of jump out in the King James. And they don't always do that in every version. And I like these in the King James. It's Joshua 3:5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You notice the veil a little bit over this that Joshua put? Joshua didn't put what exactly the Lord would do, did he? And Joshua didn't put exactly what sanctifying every person would be, did he? He just says, look it, guys, this is what you have to do. Sanctify yourselves. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. If I were to tell you this morning that I really believe in my heart, I mean from the depths of my soul, that if we sanctify ourselves as a small group of believers, God will do great things among us. Can I tell you a great thing that happened to me this week? Wasn't even planned. Had some folks over for hot dogs. Going to have them outside, but it rained. What night was that? Wednesday or Thursday? Okay. And so some people came. Then some more people came. And then some more people came, and we had almost 20 people. And luckily, I had bought 24 hot dogs, or 27. And people were eating hot dogs, and we were talking, and I was having a great time. And we got to the end of the evening, and I said to one of the gentlemen, would you lead in prayer? Just to close this wonderful time we've had in prayer. And one of the young girls that were there, there were some teenagers there, said, no, we want to sing. Oh, I was crying. It was beautiful. I didn't understand a word they were singing because they were singing in Spanish. And they kept singing and praising God. And then Raul began to pray to close the evening, and everyone was praying in unison. Oh, wow, what an outflowing of the Spirit that I wasn't expecting. And the thing that I really wasn't expecting is these folks giving us a hug goodbye when they left. What a wonderful evening. You know, in my devotions that morning when I was sitting over here, thank you so much for letting me use your office. I was sitting here in my office and I was saying, Lord, whatever you have for me today, just open me up to it. Let me see the wonders of what you're going to do so that I can really proclaim it on Sunday morning when I'm here. And oh, he did. Oh, that was wonderful. And he said that he would. And as we look into this a little bit farther, we think, well, let's talk a little bit about this sanctifying ourselves. 2 Corinthians 6:17, if you have your sheet, it's the second verse on there. It says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, here we're looking at this, and Paul is going over these things with the folks and teaching them as part of his ministry. But he said, what you'd have to do, he says, there's a time when you have to separate yourself, and there's two types of separation, aren't there? When those of you that are married got married, especially, all of us, men and women, we separated ourselves from anyone we'd been a girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever in the past. We separated ourselves from them, and then we separated ourselves to our spouse. And so if we are going to be in Christ, and if we are going to follow Christ, we're going to have to separate ourselves from sin and the world and those things around us. What he's saying here, come out from among them and be a separate people. And so there's a first thing we do is separate ourselves from those things that would be hindering us from running the race. You know, Paul is wonderful. He talks to athletes. He talks to farmers. He talks to soldiers. I love when he talks to athletes because years ago I was one, kind of. You know, and so I like to hear those words. And when he said, you know, to take off the things that would keep you from winning the race and sin. And we've talked about this a little bit before, that, you know, not everything that keeps us from pleasing God is a sin. But there are things that we have to separate ourselves from to do what God would have us to do. And then in Hebrews 12:1, excuse me, wherefore, seeing you are compassed about with so great a crowd of witness, let us lay aside, that's what I jumped ahead of myself, didn't I? Every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen, listen, three parts of this. You are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And back to the and peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Boy, a sermon out of just Joshua. Man, 10 sermons out of this verse right here. As we look at this, and we are, sometimes we're, you know those folks that are, oh, I'm not good. I can't do that. You know, say, would you like to sing a song? Oh, I can't sing. You know, would you like to help? Oh, I really can't do that. You know, as we look at this verse, what are we? We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness. Now, I've often been asked, what do you think about eternal security? And I believe that when we're born again, we're born again forever. No one can pluck us out of the hand. But if somebody doesn't show me what some of these verses tell us we should be doing, I wonder if they really have ever been part of the family of God. If I'm part of the family of God, I'm chosen, you know, a priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar person, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Bible thumper. You know, I don't want to be a Bible thumper. You know, what would people will think I'm weird. I sure hope so. I think a lot of people think I'm weird. My face mask that I wear in public says John 3:16 on it. Not the one I wear to church. You guys know that verse. People out in Walmart don't know that verse. I think if this continues on, we should have them printed up that says, please be socially distanced, but follow me to First Baptist Church. You know, how about that? You know, we can do those things, but we got to let people know. You know, and don't you see the end coming? And I know that people say, well, didn't Martin Luther see the end coming in 1527? Didn't the folks in 1944, 48, that era of time, didn't they think that was the end of the time? I remember M.R.D. Hahn, the great preacher from Grand Rapids, Michigan, wrote a book, How I Know That Hitler is the Antichrist. You know, sold a lot of copies. And it was on his desk till the day he died to remind him not to jump ahead of God. But we are that people. And if we are that people, people should know it. No one should ever doubt who we are. You know, there are a group of people in our nation now that want us to know that they are part, they're an African American people. They're black and their lives matter. And they do. As ours lives matter, and all nationalities and unborn babies' lives matter. You know, but we have no doubt, do we, when we see that march and we see that sign, who they are. Does that mean we're supposed to march and carry banners? Maybe in some situations we should. Maybe now is a good time to stand across from that abortion clinic and have that sign that said, for Jesus Christ, I stand for the life of the unborn. Just saying. Because here in the scripture, we see that if that's who we are, that's who people should know we are. There really is no such thing as that. I'm a silent Christian. I'm just kind of a silent Christian. I'll be here, pew number 3, spot number 4 every Sunday. What time? 9 o'clock this for a while. Well, let's go on because I get little bunny trails that I run off on. That's not in my notes, some of that. But it's free today. It's free, that part of it. Oh, boy, separated for what God would have for us, 1 Peter 2. That's why we're separated from sin. We're separated to becoming that chosen nation. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, again, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If we are going to be preparing for the plan that God would have for this church, man, we got to be zealous for good works. What's that mean? That means so many things today that it didn't mean in 1950, 1960, before some of you were born. But when I was growing up as a young person and a teenager in a small little Baptist church in Michigan, you know, and good works during that time, I can tell you what they were. We had a full church, you know, every Sunday, and Ted Phillips would get up there and he would tell, we would go to the mission the first Monday of every month. We did. If you were a teenager, you sang in the choir, and you went to Youth for Christ rallies on Saturday night. Cool things. All good things. You know, and that was the extent of it as I can remember until I became, well, I think it's Sandy probably taught me most of everything I know, but it was after we were married, and I went to a coffee shop again with a bunch of Christian men, and there was a man over there, oh, just tattered clothing. Cold outside, and he had a cup of coffee. He was still so cold, he was shaking. I'm drinking my coffee. I know he's there. I know Jesus. I'm letting him drink his coffee. One of the guys went over to the waitress and said, give him 2 eggs, give him some ham, give him some hash browns, and bring me the bill. You know, that was the first time in my young life, I'd seen anyone step out of the box and do something good for Jesus. The first time. And you know what? Sandy and I, we love doing that. I saw a little lady the other day, didn't we, by the road with a sign, you know, and I helped her. And if we can, we give them a tract. You know, you can't give the full gospel presentation, but what did Jesus do? He just loved everyone he ran into. He healed everyone that was around him. Let's go down to Exodus 19:10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Here we see the beginning of the pattern of God preparing people for something he's going to do. Something he's going to do. Just he can do it. No one else could write the Ten Commandments on stone with their finger. I've tried it, and you've probably tried it too, haven't you? Just sneaking to see if you can do it. Can't write on stone. And so Moses goes up into the mountain. The people have been cleansed, and that cleansing works so wonderfully that when Moses comes down, they all rejoice that the Ten Commandments are there. No, they didn't, did they? Oh, just a little reminder that we have to continually cleanse ourselves. He had only been gone a short time, and Aaron, Moses is gone. What are we going to do? We don't have a God anymore. Well, God, Moses wasn't their God. And they built the calf, and you all know that story. We're not going to go through the whole thing. I just like the part where Aaron says, I don't know what happened, Moses. He just popped out of the fire. That's the second funniest thing in scripture, I think. But there we have it. There were, God was doing the preparing. God was doing, but we ask his people, cleanse yourself because I'm doing something wonderful. Now, all of us here, just put your little imagination cap on, like you used to when you watched, I don't know who it was on TV. Captain Kangaroo have imagination? Somebody had that. And don't say it out loud, but imagine a thing that God could do here within the church in Freeport. Take 5 seconds. All right, now I want to tell you something. Greater than you can imagine are the things that God can do. So if you imagine this place full of unbelievers and people coming to receive Christ and Bible studies in that room and discussion groups in that room, guess what? God can do greater than you can imagine. Wow. Let's go on. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and talking about those sins and things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified to meet the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hold on a second. Guess what? Not only is God going to do something, he's going to use you. He's going to use you if what? If in planning, you cleanse yourself. Go before him and say, Lord, I've got this in my life. I know I can't be an honored vessel to you with this in my life. Ooh, I don't want to do that. Do you want to do that? That hurts. I don't want that out of my life. I like that. That's something I really like. And God is showing me that to serve him, I need that out of my life. I don't know if I want to pray that prayer. That's a rough prayer. Lord, take this so that I can be sanctified to your use, to your work, so that I can be there, I can be separate from that and separated unto you. I was, as you're reading that and thinking about the men in Scripture that God took something away from, you know, so that they could serve him. Do you imagine, I mean, I'm sure David wanted to be king. I'm sure, you know, every little boy, when I grew up, I wanted to be president. You know, I didn't make it yet. And I wanted to be a cowboy. I could have been a president cowboy. You know, I wanted to be a cowboy. You know, and here is David. He's out just with the flock, you know, and he's playing his harp. And he's making up neat songs for Jesus, you know. And a lion comes in. He's, oh, wow, hey, sheep, watch me. Rips the lion apart. And, you know, he liked that. I think he enjoyed that. And God said, Jesse, bring your sons. Bring your sons. No. No, not him. No. Whoa, he's handsome. I think you're right, God. No. Nobody else? Yeah, David. David. David, I want David to be sanctified. I want him to come away from what he's doing because I will make him the king of the greatest nation in the world. Wow. Don't you really think, I do, that God is looking for some church to be the greatest church, not because of what they do, but for him in Freeport. Oh, 40 people. Come on, what are you talking about? Only a boy named David. Only a little sling. Remember that one? Oh, I'm not even going to get through part one if I don't carry on here. I want to go to, and I'm going to read this a little bit to you. I'm going to go to, let's go to 2 Timothy 2. I want you to open to that because I'm going to read a little bit more of it than just that verse. And give you a little background. I'm going to close with this. We're not going to continue with the 2 Corinthians today because I have a whole other page on the back here. 2 Corinthians 2, you know, this is a chapter in the book of the Bible that really ought to blow our minds because we are looking at a man the last thing he says. This is the last that, you know, Paul does on earth. Paul is in prison here and he's, you know, he's writing this and he's telling all those things. I want to read a little bit. I'm reading from the ESV because, and only because I can't find my box with my Bibles in it. I have a whole box of all different kinds of Bibles. I have a Hispanic Bible. I've got all kinds of Bibles, and I can't find them. They're somewhere in a box somewhere. So I'm going to read this from the ESV, but I want to read to you just a little bit beginning in verse 4 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Now, soldiers get engaged in civil pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have his first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And Paul is just saying here, I want to show you these people. The farmer, he should eat first, shouldn't he? He's the one that raises the crops. And then we have that athlete who's preparing to win the race. And he said, and then we have the soldier who's not buying property because he's involved in getting in battle. And so, and then this phrase here in verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, I use that with Sandy a lot. And no, I used it once. That was enough. Yeah, don't do that with your wife. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. But Paul is just saying, I want you to review what I've said. Because I've given you, remember Paul, face to face with Jesus? I believe that when he was on the road to Emmaus, he saw the risen Savior. And I believe the risen Savior is the one for 3 years that taught him and gave him the things to give to the folks, you know. And so he's saying, I want you to review these things, he said. And then he says this, and this is, it hit me this week like I don't think I've ever been hit by scripture before. It said, remember Jesus Christ. What? Remember Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. You know, we've got crosses everywhere. How can I forget him? I forget him, don't I, when I'm in a line and I have an opportunity to speak to someone and I don't. I forget him when someone gives a presentation of a mission field where the need is great and I've got money in my pocket and I walk out without giving. I forget who Jesus is because Jesus is the one that does the work and not me. I forget who Jesus is when I speak and I use harsh words to my wife or my family. Was Jesus do say everything in love? And so don't sit there and say, oh, I don't forget about Jesus, because we all do. And when we forget about him, guess what? We can't do what he wants us to do. And so Paul continues here as he says this, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffered, bound and chained as a criminal, for the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation and is saved, the salvation that is in Christ with eternal glory, the saying that is trustworthy. And so we have what Paul is saying here before we get, you know, to verse 21 in this chapter, because he's setting us up. He's setting us up. He's saying, boy, if this is what Christ has done, won't you obey him? If this is what Christ has done, won't you adhere to the rest of the word of God that he has given you? Won't you purge yourself, as he says in verse 21, from the things? Well, let me go ahead and read just a little bit, before that in the verse we talked. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. Those who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God has firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone whose names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Separation again. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. When I was a youth pastor, one time we were reading and studying this, and one of the young people said, what is a dishonorable vessel? We don't have them in our house anymore. We should sometimes. No. Well, I remember when I was, my mother had a lot of babies after me. She had four after I was born. And we'd always have to go somewhere and live while Mom was in the hospital. And we stayed at one house that upstairs where we stayed, and I was just a young boy, there was a pot that sat in the hallway. And I wondered, what is that pot? I lived on a one-level house, you know, with one restroom. And somebody told me about that dishonorable pot and what that was for. You know, and this is what Paul is talking about. He said, there are some pots, you know, that are just, that's what they're for, you know, and that's, you don't want to be that, you know, cleanse yourself from that. Be that pot that's the one that when Sandy makes her homemade stew, oh man, you know, and that pot, oh, how honorable is that to have that wonderful meal presented in that? Or how about in the old English days when the vessel was a golden platter with a letter on it from the king? It's for you, Mom. Yes, my love, it's for you. I've been watching a lot of English TV, so I'm trying to get that accent down. And so what Paul is saying here, and we're going to conclude with this, is separated from sin, separated to God, so that we could be a vessel. A vessel filled with what? The Holy Spirit. So that we don't go out and charge out and do things in our own power, in our own might, but in God's. You know, next week I would like to look at our personal responsibility in this cleansing. Because even though we are a body of believers, we each have a personal responsibility, and then we will see the culmination and the responsibility that gives us then as a body. But before that can happen, each individual has to cleanse itself and be ready to be used as a vessel. Well, this morning, where does that leave us? What are we thinking about this week? Every day as we get out, go to Carolinas? Man, that's cool. Some people are going to the Carolinas. Some people are staying here. But, you know, what are we doing every day? When we get up, how do you pray? Oh, good morning, Father. See you later. I'm on my way. I'm going to do what I've got to do. Oh, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today that I might be what? That vessel that's used of you in that glorious way. It'd be really kind of cool. I never asked for this, but some week we just sat there and we say, how many of you had that opportunity to share Jesus this week? And just pop hands and pop up. Whoa, wouldn't that be cool? And you say, yeah, but nobody accepted the Lord. Well, yeah, guess what? You sowed the seed. Somebody else is going to cultivate. Somebody else is going to reap. Won't that be neat? So this week, as we prepare for the plan of God for Freeport First Baptist, the first thing we need to do is prepare ourselves to be used for the wonderfulness that we don't even imagine yet that God has for us. Stand with me for a word of prayer and a benediction. And if you would, it's been good to be here. It's been good to be part of you a second week in a row. And thanks for the water, Brian, even though I didn't drink it yet. I will in a minute. This morning, as you're leaving, let me give you an assignment. Ooh, like a school teacher would give an assignment. Even though you have your mask on, and even though it's difficult to talk and communicate, make sure that we share this phrase this morning, okay? I'm praying for you as a vessel. I'm praying for you as a vessel this week. And then do it. Whoever you happen to say, I'm praying for you as a vessel this week, make sure you put that down on your prayer sheet. Oh, man, I'm praying for her. I'm praying for him. Oh, God, use him as a vessel this week. I think next week we'll come back and there'll be some really smiley faces. You're not going to believe what God. We might even have one of those times when the guy doesn't preach. We just give testimony to what Jesus has done because he's a wonderful Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for your word. We praise you, Lord, that we can come together and look at what you will have for us if we prepare, if we cleanse ourselves, If we separate ourselves from sin, if we separate ourselves to you, to be used by you. And I thank you for the ones that are here today, Lord, as I'm getting to know these folks and the love that they have for you. I thank you for that. I pray that this week will be a week and we will see ourselves as vessels, not as individuals, not as moms and dads all the time we are, but as vessels to be used by you in that area, as mom and dad, as a husband, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a stranger in Walmart. And now we pray that the grace of God that's everlasting, the mercy that never fails, and the forgiveness that is all open for all of us, Lord, rest upon us, and that we trust in you and we share those with others that we come into daily. In Christ's name, dismiss us now. Amen. You're dismissed.